Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast. I'm Jodie Duval, and I'm a functional naturopath in Perth, WA. This is a place where you can expand your knowledge on how to optimize your health and realize your full potential. We'll have cutting-edge information with expert guests and having lots of fun along the way. Get ready to be empowered and motivated to reach your higher vitality and find your ultimate potential. Let's go!
Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization, Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 non-profit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind, exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia with state-of-the-art health technology protocols and personalized care with compounding of medicines made specifically for your testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au.
Today I had the pleasure of having Dr. Emily Ganaway on the podcast. And Dr. Emily is a Portland-based naturopathic doctor and licensed acupuncturist, specializing in chronic pain, regenerative medicine, and women's health. With a background in naturopathic and oriental medicine, she integrates the musculoskeletal injections, IV therapy, shockwave therapy, and functional medicine to support healing and mobility. After experiencing several injuries herself, and severe injuries herself, she developed a passion for addressing the root causes of pain and dysfunction. So we have a ball talking about chronic pain and inflammation and the real causes, how to address them naturally. Regenerative medicine, so some cutting-edge therapies like the prolotherapy, PRP, and some neural therapy. We also talk about women's health and hormones, supporting preconception, menopause, and hormone balance. We talk about mitochondria and pain and how energy production impacts pain resilience and recovery. And integrative healing, we look at the combination of acupuncture, herbal medicine, and targeted nutrition. So when she's not in practice at Urban Wellness PDX, Dr. Ganaway is a speaker, researcher, and medical reviewer. She stays at the forefront of root cause medicine. So hope you enjoy and let us know what you think. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast to hear more from us in future. All right. Welcome, Dr. Emily Ganaway. Thank you so much for joining us today and from your busy clinic day straight into a podcast.
Thank you for having me.
That's all right. Pleasure. So, Emily, I'm going to let you tell everyone about your extensive background because I was so impressed with what you have studied, achieved, accomplished, and now work in clinic with multitudes of clients on a daily basis. So it's such an impressive background and how you've brought everything together. So what brought you into field and study, you know, your journey as such?
When I grew up, I didn't know about naturopathic medicine or acupuncture, any of that. My mother was ill with multiple sclerosis, and now looking back, I realized that there's a lot that could have been done that was not part of standard care. And then when I was 21, I fell off a cliff, so that was quite good. And I my T12 L1, or depending, I have an extra vertebrae, they shattered. Wow. And I had like just a bunch of other injuries, half of my lung fields collapsed, a concussion, bunch of other things. But I went to get care, and like, yeah, it's good that I had surgery and stuff, but then it was just like medication on top of medication on top of medication. And like, you know, the most caring doctors I saw at that phase were just like, oh, you're just going to be in pain forever, and just looked like they felt really, really terrible telling me that. And then I had gone to a chiropractor, and then that was helpful. But then he was talking about naturopathic medicine, which I had never heard of. And I was like, knew that that's, it just made so much sense, you know, like to have the nutrition and have the physical medicine and like root cause medicine. And so I started working on looking into that. And then I was at like a Chinese New Year celebration. I got acupuncture, and I'd had pretty severe sleep deprivation for like a long period of time because the pain was so intense, and I went home from the acupuncture and I went to sleep. I'd been on Ambien before and just like I told the doctor, I'm like, well, like it doesn't really put me to sleep, but sometimes I can do my like laundry and stuff.
Yeah,
That,
my
you know, like
goodness.
just like all these medications were doing like nothing. And then like a little bit before that, I had like my pain management doctor told me that I'd just have to be on like fentanyl forever and all these
Oh,
other
no.
medications. And like I just never went back to them. And I know this is not how you do things. I just cut off tiny pieces of my patch every time, you know, so
Yes.
because I knew you could die if you just stop it. And it
Yeah.
was like just getting like there was a little tiny uptick and weirdness of getting off of that, but like immediately after, my pain levels were so much better than they were while I had been on this like high dose fentanyl patch and all these other medications that were just like confusing and didn't seem to do anything. The muscle relaxers where my body would just spasm and you know, and like then you realize like so many people are low in magnesium and like in the US at least, it's like the 2003 to 2006 US population study found that like 2% of the US population was getting enough potassium. And then like meanwhile, all these people are just being given like these potassium manipulating muscle relaxers that basically just use up the rest of their potassium and then they just get spasms still. So it was just really eye-opening because I hadn't realized like when I was young that like none of like the nutrition and the physical medicine, the root cause medicine, like the hormones and all that, like I didn't realize that wasn't part of the US healthcare system. And so it was like really, really eye-opening. So then I knew, yeah, I wanted to be a naturopathic doctor, and then I found out what acupuncture could do, and I wanted to do that. And then I found out they had an obstetrics and midwifery program. So I decided I wanted to do that. It's really
So
cool when
much
people can have
study.
babies.
Yeah, so many
But then
things
I
that you love.
also and then I'd also like besides like yeah like my back hurt from falling off the cliff, but actually in reality the most painful thing is I had like intense severe pelvic pain from injuries there and then injuries in my back. And so when I saw like in the obstetrics and midwifery program like how many women deal with like pain, urinary incontinence, I was like, oh wow, that's really, really important to address. It's not like just like my weird freak accident thing.
Yeah, it's common, so common. Yeah.
So I end up doing like more training in that, like pelvic floor therapy, the like my abdominal therapy. I do like injections also, but like a lot of shockwave actually, which does not feel shocking. It feels like a deep tissue massage, but it breaks down inappropriate calcifications and softens scar tissue and fibrotic tissue and helps with blood flow. But that more recently, like I've been doing that for musculoskeletal things and for pelvic things for like 8 years, but more recently there's been like studies coming out about like how it can help with urinary incontinence and all that, because
Oh.
like, you're treating that area and you're like, oh, okay, well it does this. It keeps on doing
Yeah.
it.
And it's
So
huge, like life-changing things for women, you know. So yeah, they're living with this on a daily basis. It's so debilitating for just normal life. And so you're able to help people without the medications, like you say, because the medications, and as you've said, take away so much of from the body, and when we're never repleting those or aware of what the medications are doing to us, it would be great if we did, because then we would be able to mitigate some of the damage done by being on long-term medication, but we don't.
And then yeah, there's like the hormones are very, very important for that too. And yeah, there's just so much. And I did some I did a couple years of joint injection training and musculoskeletal injection training, and do like a lot of training in regenerative medicine because there's like placental stem cell exosomes, like the messenger packets from the cells. You can they can now like get them and put them in a vial, like in a highly concentrated way. And so that's really great for injecting because it they're from the mesenchymal stem cells, so it helps the body heal in a way it normally can't heal as an adult. So there's just so much you can do with the naturopathic medicine. That's pretty amazing.
The field is incredible, yeah. And then oriental medicine as well. You've got so much to offer with that as well. So your toolkit is just incredible. So
Oh, thank you.
I guess, you know, where do I want to start? You know, so I guess a day in the life of you, you've got clients coming through, or you're seeing People from all different fields. Are you noticing there is like a trend? You get more of a certain type of person coming through in terms of what they're experiencing. So what does sort of the yearly practice look like for you at the moment with the trends that come through?
I guess there's a lot of things, like there's a lot of hormones that's always important, like in, whether it's replacement or balancing the hormones. There's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of different pain musculoskeletal conditions people get, like dextroscoliosis is super common in people, and sometimes people don't even realize that's why they're getting their back pain. So shockwave's been really nice because it helps like break things down to, like, and help things heal to where the spine could get straight again. Like a lot of people get the frozen shoulders and then like low back pain. Yeah, women, the urinary incontinence, the men, the urinary retention, and their prostates get gigantic, and then they get like calcifications and all that. So yeah, dealing with all that. And then I do, yeah, some preconception work and adjunctive prenatal care, yeah, that kind of thing.
Incredible.
To see it. And I did 2-year externship in pediatrics, which was pretty cool because
Yeah,
kids are
same
pretty
kids.
sensitive. Yeah. And then
They
it's
are.
interesting to see, because a lot of times their problems are a lot simpler to fix, because they haven't been around forever.
Yeah,
So it's kind of
I
nice to see
agree. I
it.
have a pediatric component of my practice and I really
Oh,
enjoy that as
good.
well.
Yeah.
So I love seeing the kiddos. You get some quicker results, I feel, and they're a lot more malleable in how they take on those changes, which is incredible to
Oh.
watch in a short term. So I really enjoy
Yeah,
it too. So I guess I want to step through some of the individual components of your practice, but so we've seen some trends come through, but also what are some commonalities of the people that you see? And I know we've discussed, what's missing in the health fields and from your personal experience, what you saw, which is such a powerful thing for a healer, isn't it? Or for someone in the health field to have the personal experience and to know really how it feels to be at that level, to that depth of hopelessness and pain, and then to have that huge empathy for someone who is going through this is just gives you such an incredible ability as a practitioner or as a doctor.
Oh,
So,
thanks.
yeah, so I feel, what sort of things are you seeing as a common issue in clients that come through or in patients that come through?
Yeah, like some things, like so, especially women, so many women are iron deficient. Like if you test their ferritin, anything under 100 nanograms per milliliter is absolute iron deficiency. And sometimes people wait till it gets really dismal to treat it, or don't even check ferritin. And it's like, then people's blood volume isn't good, like especially the women. Sometimes men, if they have like gastritis or hemorrhoids or that kind of thing, but mostly the women have to deal with that. And so that just is very, like, they're so fatigued, and that causes so many problems. A lot of, yeah, so many people are low in potassium and magnesium, as I mentioned before. A lot of times, like, sometimes people here don't necessarily take like nutrients too seriously. So sometimes I'll get patients, they come back in and they're like, I don't know why my hip pain started back like all of a sudden last week. And I'm like, oh, you're taking your potassium. And they're like, oh no, I ran out of that last week. And I was like, oh, thank
Yeah.
God.
It's a good correlation,
All
isn't it? It's like, oh,
testings
it's
and stuff,
the
but there's probably
lining.
some, yeah, reason why there wasn't a problem for like months and I hadn't seen them in forever. Yeah. And a lot of adults, like, they could use to get a little bit more protein and, like, obviously, like, antioxidants, that kind of thing,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
a lot of people have like a lot of neck and shoulder tension because they're always hunched over and that kind of thing. To be able to manipulate the things. Oh, and then it's like an epidemiological study found that 55 to 60% of people 50 years or older have a hiatal hernia, and in the US population, the estimate's like 47% of like the general population. But that is so common, and a lot of times people will get like adjusted in their back or manipulated, but then their stomach's just been out of place for who knows how long, and sometimes it'll slide because sometimes they're sliding. But getting to move that out, like, cause it's just a manipulation, just have to traction it down. But sometimes it's a little uncomfortable, or have somebody take an Epsom salt bath before they come back in.
Yes, through that.
But when that moves, then that helps the spine to straighten out and be able to move this spine back to the proper location, because it moves the thoracic spine over to the like makes it curve out to the person's right side because the stomach's like a huge organ. So that's a really super common thing. That like is a really good way to build patient confidence if they're like, especially if it's like really bad and they're like short of breath and feel like really freaked out from their heart being squished. Like, can you move that and they feel better? That's like a
Absolutely.
really helpful. But then a lot of people get reflux and yeah, stuff from that
From
too.
that as well. So talk to me about that. That sounds fascinating. It's more, I guess, how do you are you using scans? Are you using any sort of techniques to recognize how that's there? And then how what's sort of the long, well, not long term, but short term treatment? Is it just one, or you're managing that? And then what, yeah, what other issues are you seeing from that?
With that, since the stomach's such a big organ, like when it's moved out of place, it's attached to a lot of things. So like bloating will often be a symptom, but like the bowel movements could be constipation or diarrhea, which I assume is just because there's, you know, there's all kinds of stuff linked up there. But the stomach is like a, so this is my left side. So the stomach's supposed to be like here. So like it's got like it's basically shaped like a long, like an enlarged kidney bean shaped organ that's maybe elongated. And then it's got like its inner curvature here. And then the inner curvature should. And recently they did a study which confirmed this with imaging, the correct position for the stomach. It's supposed to start curving out about like 3.5 inches below the belly button. But it's like sometimes it's like, you know, up here, or like occasionally I'll get something where it's like I can only grab the very bottom of their stomach. But you palpate it and then see where it's starting to curve out. And then there's like a basically I have somebody, usually I do it with them on the table and I traction it down and kind of sweep it out. Sometimes I have to do it a few times before it goes all the way. But like if somebody's young, a lot of times like it might just stay where it's supposed to go. So we get older, sometimes things have just like been stretched out so long it'll get out of place. But sometimes it'll stay, or sometimes somebody will do something like they'll be like lifting, like because a lot of times when people lift, they like bend their spine instead of just like the flexing at their hips and like they're like bending their knees and things like, you know, pregnancy can cause the stomach to herniate because the baby can kick the liver all day. It's not going anywhere, but the stomach can go
It's
up and then,
moving.
and also the, you know, the uterus just gets big. And then,
Absolutely. There's a lot, not much room in there.
A lot of times, like after people have had like a cold or something, they've been coughing a lot, that'll cause it to come up. Or if they've like got sick and they're vomiting, like the tight waistbands, I was trying to encourage people not to wear like tight waistbands or like binding on their abdomen because that increases the pressure, like intra-abdominal pressure or straining to have. To poop, yeah, that can cause it too. So anything that's going to increase the intra-abdominal pressure, usually like somebody like that does like jujitsu or one of those things, because they'll get like a blow to their abdomen or just like
Absolutely.
an accident where
Injuries.
they fall in a weird way. So those are some of the major ones.
Interesting. So just I want to focus a little bit more on women's health now. So firstly, though, you mentioned iron, because iron is a huge one I also see in my practice. So what do you look out for? What are sort of the nuances that you look and see around iron, specifically in women?
Because like when you look at serum iron, it might look fine because that can just be like whatever they ate the day before. So ferritin's really important to check. If I check like the under eyes, look at the fingernails. Like ideally, you want it to all be pink, like no white areas, and you don't want it to be pale. You want it to be like a pretty rich pink. The skin, like Caucasians, the skin will often look white, but then like sometimes the other, I mean, it's really important to like check that in the nails, but like sometimes like under here will look a little different, or like you'll notice that like if they came in with their family, like they look a whole lot of different tone, you know, because it's like you have to differentiate
Skin
like
tone.
that pink to their skin, you know, but like kind of looking at it not just like a darker light, because yeah, if they have like a lot of melanin, you know, like a lot of color to their skin, you want to look for that if that redness is there that's supposed to be there. But then like a lot of women, they'll get like periods tend to, sometimes women will skip periods when their iron stores are really low, but it seems like more often they'll have heavy periods and they'll have them for like, you know, maybe they even bleed for 7, 8 days or more. And it seems like if you can get the ferritin to like 120s, 130s, the periods really button themselves up. Like sometimes they start to notice, you know, usually they like if either I'm giving like IVs of iron, usually when I give vitamin C because it helps with the utilization of iron as well, and like usually a methylated B complex, as well. But yeah, often they'll notice the periods start being less intense, and then like the cramping of the uterus tends to be a lot less intense once you get that under control. Occasionally the uterus is like tipped in a weird way, so I might move it. But those are some of the big things, like lightheadedness sometimes. Sometimes when they sit up, like get up from a chair, but sometimes it's just like all the time. The energy is so much less. Colds, like a lot, like seems like everybody with Raynaud's has low ferritin levels. I can't think of one patient where that hasn't been the case, you know. And so
Absolutely
like that
interesting.
white figure, somebody was just the other day was talking about their relatives having Raynaud's and talking about how bad it was, but at the same time I could see that their fingers were white, like their relative must be having a really hard time. So those
Just
are
want to
some
point it
big
out
ones,
to
the
them as well.
colds. And they felt like and like feeling cold, but then like sometimes it'll just be like the hands and the feet or the toes and the fingers, like sometimes the numbness or tingling, like things might go numb a little easier.
And there's such a big
You'll get
correlation then with the thyroid too, isn't it? As being a cofactor and nutrient for the thyroid, I always see that correlation with women particularly is that the iron's low and then for a period of time, and then thyroid tends to start to really struggle.
That's like when it's like if I see like the thyroid's like kind of underperforming but not terrible, but then like the ferritin's really low, I'm like, okay, let's work on that first. Maybe I'll, you know, give some support, but yeah, that's like really big because otherwise the body's just gonna be like, let's slow down, we don't can't get enough oxygen around.
Absolutely. It's essential, isn't it? All these nutrients and all these, I call them sort of matrix of the body of all the components foundationally that needs to be made and secured. But we are missing so many of these major ones, and we jump straight into pharmaceuticals to sort of fix these problems, but it's always just this blanket that sort of half supports and doesn't even get to the underlying foundations. And it's then
Because
it
it
just
makes it worse.
continues.
It makes it more
And then
tolerable until everything gets even worse.
absolutely. So it's, I think it for a lot of doctors and practitioners in these spaces, it's really frustrating, I feel, because there's a lot of, wanting to have quick magic pills, quick fixes always are the ones that are necessary, but not they don't work.
That's like the interesting thing is like somewhat having the physical medicine aspect is nice. I mean, not that physical medicine is nice on its own, but then like sometimes some people they need like something to happen, like it's magic, like in the day. And then like maybe they'll buy into this idea of taking something else. Maybe they won't. Sometimes
Exactly.
sometimes they're like, I don't know.
I need to see a sign where I can feel a bit better before I can get sold onto a specific routine or regiment or protocol.
I've been giving a lot more iron infusions than like iron by mouth these days, because the iron by mouth can sometimes be constipating, but like sometimes you can give it like and it take like with vitamin C, or like if somebody's younger sometimes they'll absorb it real quick. But I've had people where I was like seeing them for like, oh, okay, it's been like 6 years I've been having you on like 250 milligrams of iron a day for like that whole time, and your ferritin has gone up to 34, so we might want to try something else. I feel like I learned, like I'm like, okay, like I'll just suggest iron infusions most of the time for that, because it just makes such a big difference. Like just sometimes it's nice to have a way of, getting to the
Supporting them.
endpoint a little bit quicker.
And then doing all the middle ground bits if they actually feel a little bit better. So yeah, some of the quick fixes, I agree, can be that motivating factor for clients because then they can actually see that difference. But then they have to follow through. For some of the quick fixes that was some of my clients want, I said, well, if you're doing all of these things, or I've seen that they've tried hard, they've done their diet, they're doing the exercise, they're trying on their routines, they've got their sleep and their circadian rhythm well balanced, and but then things still aren't moving in that direction. I'm like, well, let's just try this for a short period of time, but you have to continue everything else. So
It's hard because sometimes people just want that quick fix.
exactly.
It's
Yeah, they don't
like,
want to actually be relearning about health.
I feel like, like when I first started out, I was doing like a lot of I mean, I still do counseling on diet, but like I do like a lot of like I feel like I sat down, like held people's hands, and then most of the people that turned out really well, and then also I got a few reviews where somebody was enraged that I talked to them about their diet.
I know people don't want to. It's like, no, I'll just continue. You just tell me what I need to do and take. And I was like, well, this is how it's going to be for your longevity. You're going to have to do this ongoing. That's how you look after your body. It
It's
is.
really
Yeah,
hard
I
to
find it the
hold on
most
to those strategies.
frustrating part. Yeah. It's one of the hardest parts of practice, I feel, is getting people motivated on diet and nutrition.
Yeah, because
Yeah.
I've had patients where like, yeah, like I'd gave them like a handout and they like actually kept it for years, and then like one day they come in, they're looking so much healthier. They're like, oh yeah, I'm feeling so much better. And they're like, oh yeah, I did that diet you told me to do. And I was like, oh wow. Like
Yeah.
it worked eventually.
It took that long to get into the, you know, when they're ready, they're ready. That's what I always
Yeah,
say as
that's very
well.
true.
So yeah, I guess with women, you know, there's the complexity, right? There's the hormones, and you do a lot of work with hormones as well. And so, you know, in through the natal periods and then into perimenopause, you know, there's such a big shift from a woman being, you know, having children into different life stages. And then from what I'm seeing in practice at the moment, there's a big awareness around perimenopause and shifts and changes in women.
Yeah,
So
that's true.
how do you see sort of these changes blending your, you know, Oriental Chinese medicine and naturopathic medicine? Like, how do you make those changes with women or support women?
Yeah, so with the hormones, like I mean, sometimes I'll just play it out like give somebody estradiol or progesterone, but or testosterone, but then there's also like support, like I use like glandulars quite often in that perimenopausal period, because sometimes it's like somebody just goes through like a stressful, it's like you can go through stress when you're in your 20s or whatever, but sometimes it won't start affecting your periods and stuff as much, and then like you have a big stressor in your late 30s and it's like, oh, is this person really going to early menopause, or do we just need to like turn things back on? So like glandulars are really helpful. Just like, yeah, making sure their thyroid and their like iron and nutrient levels are good is really important. Using like some of the herbal formulas can be really helpful. Like Phytanic's got some good ones. Yeah, probably should be formulating more things, but yeah, that's been really helpful.
Excellent,
There are
excellent.
Yeah, and there's some peptides you can use too. Yeah, depending on what somebody's going
Incredible.
for. Yeah.
So with the just to I guess clarify for the audience, some of the glandulars that you're using, what does that look like? Is it more of the adrenals, the thyroid glandulars, you know, those sorts of areas?
Actually, yeah, like I usually use a combination that's like adrenal, hypothalamus, pituitary, ovaries, and there's something else in it. Oh yeah, and thyroid, yeah, the gland, but it doesn't have the hormones in it,
The
but it has
glands,
the glands, yeah, and that is actually really helpful and often will help kick things, back into line, but also, yeah, always looking at, is this woman's really iron deficient and they're not getting enough blood flow anywhere but their heart
absolutely,
and lungs because their body thinks they're in survival mode, yeah, the
absolutely.
glandulars can be very, very helpful, yeah.
Yeah, and it's good to go for, I guess, the glandulars and the other supports that are, you know, less reliant for long-term use, like the hormones, when you're going straight into those, because then you can be correcting already, and then if needed, you go into those, you know, other hormones as needed.
And making sure they get enough like protein and fats and yeah and all that to actually make the
Absolutely,
hormones.
absolutely. So, is there anything in terms of what you're noticing with sort of, say, perimenopause that you're seeing as trends with women? You know, so I see a lot of trends in incontinence and, you know, like obviously the hormone levels are dropping and then posture changes and exercise and ability to deal with stress changes.
Yeah, they get more joint pain. Yeah, the urinary incontinence. A lot of like times they'll have a lot more pelvic pain. Libido will often start going down, and their energy like goes really low. And then the progesterone goes low, and they get like the foggy thinking. Like cognitively, things are harder, and they get like a little bit more puffy. And yeah, feel out of shape. And then yeah, that's like the skin starts thinning out. Yeah. It's rough, rough Your
It's
body's
wrong.
very
Yeah.
well about hormones.
But I guess it's, you know, it's good to know that there's some support out there, and it may not be instant fixes, but as long as you're moving in the right direction, just small little changes, you know, I feel like is a really good motivation for clients, and knowing that you're working on multiple areas, you know. So like what you do, you can work with the herbs and the adrenals and the hormones, and then even peptides can sort of like elevate, I guess, clients into results, which really help. And then you've got the musculoskeletal support as well, which is absolutely incredible. Yeah.
Happens.
So now stepping into sort of pain management and regenerative medicine, and into and even talking about that musculoskeletal component as well, because that fascinates me with how you're doing some of the, you know, musculoskeletal injections and things like that. So I guess you know, share some of your information around what you're seeing in clinic around these, and where you're seen to be the next sort of best things or latest in research around this field.
Yeah, so it's like
Yeah.
always, always checking like iron, CBC, you know, like are they enough potassium, magnesium, like nutrients and that kind of thing,
Yeah.
and enough protein. Always like have that as like a base, obviously.
Yeah, you have your
But
foundation,
then,
yeah.
yeah, and I use Shockwave, which does not feel like electrical shock. It just has that name. It usually feels like deep
Not
tissue
shocking.
massage, but it's external. But I use that a lot because, I mean, people tend to get more fibrotic. When we're adults, we tend to heal with like fibrotic tissue, and we can just get stiff. And when people start getting like stuck at a certain way, or the joints like, or like Shockwave also has been shown to help with like desiccated discs, where they're all like dried out, crumpled, and arthritis helps build the bone density. So I end up using that a lot for people. So many people, I'm having them take Epsom salt baths. 4 pounds of Epsom salts in the bath, and like you stay in there for an hour, especially if we're doing
How much do you
the
say to put in there with the Epsom salts? How
shockwave.
much?
Four pounds, yeah.
4 pounds.
Yeah, I tell them to
Wow.
stay in for at least an hour because you have to be in like at least for a half an hour for it to
This is
do the
good.
full benefit. And then like there's like different injectables, like the placental stem cell exosomes, I would say are probably like best of the best, because like placentas, like people and animals have consumed placentas, you know, for I don't know, however long, and they're really rich in the stem cells. So it's like now that they can take them and gather their little messenger packets, because they have the messenger RNA to code for like about like 33 different growth factors, like they can get in our cells. And then as adults, like our stem cells are only sending out like the messenger RNA to like make us make like 11 different growth factors, so the healing is very, very different. So that's been really nice. I've been using this like other regenerative injectable that's been like a better alternative to PRP. So some things have really gotten a lot better with that. But then like also the peptides are very, they're really neat. They're like currently I've been taking MOTS-C. It's like it increases your mitochondrial production of energy and helps like with metabolism of fats and carbohydrates. Not that it's not good to have a healthy diet, but I was like outrageously like I would be consuming at least 250 grams of protein a day. Like I've had different injuries and things like that. But this is, and then like I think the whole accident and all that stuff kind of messed it with my metabolism and my extreme genetic predisposition to obesity. So this has kind of helped me to be able to like incorporate like, you know, more berries and different vegetables and things into my diet. And so it's very neat how you can do that. But there's like a lot of different peptides. Like there's Kisspeptin is really good for helping when women are trying to get pregnant and for ovulation. And there's like DSIP, which helps induce like deep sleep. There's like a Celebrexin, which is like if you've had like a concussion or stroke, it helps like the nerves heal. And just there's a lot of stuff that can be
So
concentrated in these
many.
peptides, so like you can get them in your body in the same form you'd make. And so it's really pretty amazing.
There's a lot of, there's a lot more coming out as well in terms of information around it, which is really good. So are you using a lot of the, is it more injectable peptides than you are using oral?
Mostly injectable because yeah, you get a little bit more benefit. And then like with that, you just have to use like just a teensy tiny insulin syringe. So it's not like a Yeah, so and then somebody just sits down and just pokes their belly fat, you know, like it's like a dart, you know, and then you just inject. But that's been really, really helpful. And then, yeah, we have that hyperbaric oxygen here. That's super helpful for healing from like
Okay.
concussion, but then also like any kind of injury or area that's not getting enough oxygen.
Yeah.
That's been, yeah, super
That's
helpful for
incredible.
people.
And it can be, you know, when you're combining a lot of these therapies as well, if you're doing it in the right way for the right protocols, then you can get, again, the acceleration of support for clients. So they're not actually having to be in these therapies really, really long term, and they can then get back to life and back to changing their lifestyle and supporting themselves in different ways, which I find is just so incredible that we can do that now, is with all these different therapies.
Yeah, that's true. Like, give them a leg up so they
Yeah,
start
exactly.
going.
So coming back to just PRP actually quickly, because I know there's, you know, PRP, there's Prolo, there's all these different injections that we can do within the joints for regeneration. Then we've got obviously the stem cells, the exosomes. So
Oh, yeah.
what have you seen within the literature around, so we have better options now than the PRP? Because I've seen a lot of clients come through who have had and got been, you know, gone to Mexico and had PRP on, say, their knee for, you know, regenerative purposes, and not really had great success. And so, you know, things change, I guess.
So it's hard because, with PRP, one, you're sucking out a lot of blood from the person. And a lot of times, when these people have like the joint pain or different injuries, like they also have like low blood volume or like anemia or iron deficiency. And then it's like you're concentrating the PRP and then you're injecting into them. But the healing is primarily an inflammatory process. So you might be like, well, you might be in a lot more pain for a month or, or more. And then you see, and then yes, of course, that like does a lot better than, corticosteroids. They've done studies comparing PRP and corticosteroids, and they show like improvement in the imaging with PRP, and they show degradation of the joints with corticosteroids. But then you get into like some things like there's like Vidipure is a really good injectable that's like about the same cost as PRP. Again, like I think that's umbilical, but it basically it contains a much higher quantity of the active constituents that you're mostly wanting from the PRP. But then you can put it in somebody and it's like much smaller volume, so you're not having to pump up the area with too much stuff. But then the exosomes, but having the right exosomes, because sometimes with the regenerative medicine, you want to make sure you don't get sold some kind of weird trash because somebody thinks you don't know. But the placental stem cell exosomes from the mesenchymal, sorry, from the mesenchymal stem cells, those are probably the best injectable I can think of. I remember the first time I got an IV of that, I was like, I feel like my 20s before I felt good. I felt like so energetic and my back felt so much better, but I had just had an IV, like I hadn't even gotten injected there, it's just incredible. Like, and that, like the they had like this one person like basically burned their face off, like their skin was all like mush, and they used like the those exosomes on him, and you can find him like there's before and after pictures, but his skin looks better than it did before. It's, not that the cosmetics are everything, but obviously if your face is burned off, you
Oh,
don't
it's
want to
huge.
fix.
That's the face of the world.
But also it's like nice to see like those things, because the outside of somebody, anybody knows what that generally looks like, as opposed to saying like, oh, this joint is better than that one, and image like they don't know, So.
Absolutely. It's N equals one. We can't always know what the other person is feeling or saying just for saying. And that's the thing, is that, that's where it is so confusing with this industry. And it's wonderful that all these new peptides and all these new treatments are coming through, but it's always like which company to trust, or which lab to trust, or which person to trust with the information, because there is so much coming through. So there's a lot of confusion, and that's where I find it's also very difficult to meet people where they're at. And I love what you say, you know, with your clients, and I believe, you know, I practice like that as well, as to sort of meet where they're at and give the information associated to them there. Otherwise, you're never going to be able to go anywhere with them if you're sort of like coming at a different stage for them. But they come with so much information already. They've already been looking at this, and then they've got so much data that they're sort of trying to tell you that then you have to unteach some of it, or unlearn some of it for them, and then reteach them the correct information, because it's pieces, isn't it? It's bits and pieces. And without the
Yeah.
foundational learning that we do as in a degree or a doctorate, we can't sort of build that. We can't build the bricks on it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and like yeah, the diet aspect is like sometimes people come in, they're like, no, I eat a healthy diet. They don't want to say what that is, but they're convinced that they know exactly what that is. It's like, well, it's kind of hard because there's so much
What's a healthy
information out
diet?
there. Yeah, that's very true.
Absolutely. Yeah, goodness me. Yeah, so I think the regenerative and pain space is just huge. It's something that can be so debilitating, and that's why, for your history, it's so lovely that you now treat people in this space for what you've been through, because and I see some clients with some very intense pain issues. And it's as you know, it's debilitating, completely
Oh yeah.
debilitating. Yeah. So
Oh,
it's
another common thing that the tailbone in a lot of people is like flexed, like some people fall on it or they'll get in an accident, and a lot like it starts out typically as like 3 to 5 vertebrae, but it like will flex, and sometimes it'll flex like one spot, but sometimes it'll flex like two spots. Sorry, I'm not doing it. But like even the tip of it's pointing upward, but the dural sac around our brain and our spinal cord comes down to a tendon that attaches to it, and it can actually like pull on that a lot. So sometimes that'll cause like issues with like gait or like reductions in like grip strength, migraines, like back issues. I mean, also it could cause tailbone issues and pelvic issues as well, but that like because it's very hard to manipulate it, 'cause like when somebody's older, because it fuses with age. And so used to just do that by hand, but like if somebody had a real bad issue, they'd be coming back and it'd be like, okay, well, I moved it a few degrees. Like, but the shockwave's been really nice because one, it treats like coccidia, which is pain of the tailbone. But then since it softens like the like breaks down those inappropriate calcifications and softens the fibrotic tissue, then I'm able to like move it back into place, typically like with one treatment after I've done like 6 shockwave treatments. So that's been really nice because, yeah, typically people are just like, oh, well, that's out of place. That's kind of stuck there. Yeah. But if somebody's like a little kid, or like sometimes they can go to like chiropractor or like a naturopathic doctor, and they can manipulate it externally by pulling on that ligament. And so that is a preferable way to get addressed early on.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's good to hear about these sorts of things, because it's not spoken about a lot with the connection, interconnectability, right? So it can give other areas in the body issues when you've got a certain like pull or strain or inflammatory issue in those areas. I rode horses as a kid right up until I was 18, and I fell and I damaged my coccyx bone very badly. And it wasn't until I got pregnant. Well, I had pain prior to that, but when I was pregnant and then gave birth, that's when it fixed it.
Oh yeah, sometimes it
I
will
must
move
have
it because it's
manipulated it
like
myself.
flexing. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. You did it the whole natural way.
It was an accident. So now, since then, I haven't had a coccyx bone issue, but
That's
it was nice
good.
to see. But I hear a lot of women having these issues where they can't sit, for a long period of time due to that inflammatory, cascade there, unfortunately. So yeah, fascinating stuff. Fascinating. So I guess where I want to go next is a little bit more into, how you see the trends, I guess, come in, and how you combine, which we've talked about. So, but really, I see on your Instagram as well, you're constantly looking at research, which I absolutely love, and you're
Thanks.
pushing it out into the public. And I really love how you do that for relearning and purposes of just, sharing that information with people so they can become informed really, really well. So, I guess what are you seeing come up in the future? What are you excited about? What are the sort of things? I know you're in so many different fields and looking across all of these, like, where's your excitement for the next steps?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's always like more research, so it's nice to see when like people start piecing stuff together. I think like combining therapies like physical medicine and the regenerative medicine and like these like root cause medicine and like fixing like nutrient deficiencies and all this, like combining, like even with like the shockwave, a lot of people don't do it because they're afraid like the well, you can have like Bruce like pain afterwards. And so most shockwave therapists don't realize, like, typically if you give somebody, a couple thousand milligrams of vitamin C, like twice a day, like for at least a few days before the shockwave therapy, somebody won't feel like they got beat. Like, they won't feel like they got beat up internally. And like using it, like prescribing potassium and like then magnesium based on bowel tolerance or Epsom salt baths, like has me just so like people don't get these terrible spasms for the muscle fibers that have been trapped that are getting released. So that,
Yeah,
I
good
mean, it's just really nice
combination.
to be able to combine things because, yeah, like otherwise that treatment might be like, oh, well, I could give it to somebody, but they might be in more pain afterwards. Like, because sometimes I'll see studies on shockwave where like they'll be like, oh, but the stiffness increased. And it's like, well, if they just fix the nutrient deficiencies, they would actually have greater
Other
mobility. Like,
results,
most people
yeah.
say greater. So most will say greater mobility, but then it's like you see some that are conflicting, and it's like very obvious the reason if you're a naturopathic doctor. Yeah, like you're
Yeah.
like, oh, okay, we just gotta fix those other issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like combining therapy is really important. Yeah, the
Absolutely. I
peptides are
agree.
really ex exciting. I mean, exosomes have, yeah, been around for a little bit, but that's just, I'm hoping they'll become more commonly used. Like
Wildly
somebody has
known.
active cancer, then they shouldn't be getting them at that point. But there's just so much potential for healing, and nowadays it's just like getting things to be widely known, or where people like, because a lot of times people like go, they'll see something in a magazine, or they'll like hear different things that are popular on TV, and so like those things they're like on board with, but they don't necessarily like, oh, I don't know, like you might give them suggestions about like the best there is, as far as you know, but they don't really know that because they're just like, well, I heard about this thing on the TV. So getting, yeah, more of this to become like widely known and commonly used, like using food in a more medicinal way, like targeted way. There's a lot
I
of,
agree. A lot more
yeah, a lot.
scope for that, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People
And
don't
I think
always
that,
need advice. Yeah.
I mean, back to basics, I feel is going to be like the next big thing. Is like
Yeah.
we're not looking for anything more shiny. We're actually looking to turn backwards and to go back to the basics. And I think
Yeah.
that is the next big thing for a lot of people, is just to relearn
Yeah.
with that.
Because like a lot of things, it's like you look at like research on Alzheimer's, there's like a lot of like supplements or food items that actually like make a significant difference when they study it. But like typically if you know somebody that has a family member that has Alzheimer's, they're not usually like getting that care. They're going into a facility where they're being watched and stuff, but they're not necessarily, that's not
Getting the best care.
yeah. And I hope like in the future, like, I mean, yeah, preventive care is awesome, but then also like taking care of like elders and stuff in a more efficient way, as opposed to expecting like us all to kind of degrade, because I think there's a lot more potential for people to like, I mean, probably live longer, but then also like live a very, very able life while they're here. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And so I guess that's a good segue into my next sort of questions around your best advice. And I know from reading about you love, hydrotherapy and strength training and movement and all those sorts of things too. But I guess those who are struggling with chronic pain who are listening and immobility, and what sort of tips, I guess, and tricks would you have for people, or just starter points? Because I know, for so many people, and it breaks my heart that it takes so much to get started on something. I feel there's so much confusion, there's so much out there in information that you sort of freeze in doing nothing. So I think, simple little things to get the ball rolling, or tips that people can take, or steps people can take to get going, can be so powerful. So what would you recommend in terms of those people?
So with pain and mobility issues, and like often I also see a lot of people with like instability issues, like Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and then also often with pain and injury and stuff, there's been some instability. I feel like making sure there's a good baseline of protein, like and then keeping like sugar really low, and then try to keep simple carbohydrates relatively low, like not worry as much about berries and just regular vegetables. But like usually if somebody gets up to like 150 grams of protein a day. Like, even if it's not forever necessarily, but like if they're in a really bad state, like that can really give them like an extra boost of energy and less pain, because just sometimes like just sugar can really make pain just like terrible. And so sometimes, sometimes if somebody has a lot of injuries or immobility, like pain issues, really kind of controlling that for a while is really important. Here Costco has a really good price on Epsom salts that are on fragrance.
Get in there and get it.
Like the amount of people that like they like put like they've been taking Epsom salt baths with like, oh, a quarter cup of Epsom salts, or
Yes, I
it's
know
like
that was, it's a
it's
good
like
tip that
nice.
like
Yeah,
lots
get 4 pounds
lots.
of there, as long as your doctor doesn't say it's not okay. And then like hanging out in there for an hour, or maybe even waiting till it cools down. Like, because some people get lightheaded when they get up from hot water, so be careful about getting up from the bath and
Absolutely.
that kind of thing. Make sure you're safe. But then like also seeing like here, like in the studies, it's like your potassium level ideally would be 4.5 to 3, sorry, 4.5 to 5.3 millimoles per liter. And then that, or is it deciliter? I think it's liter. Sorry, that sometimes the units. But if like somebody's below that, seeing like, okay, is their doctor? Well, one, you can try to have high potassium food. So I'll explain that in a second. But sometimes that gets a little hard when you're trying to just hold on, as far as like sleep deprivation and stuff from pain. But like, see, like, will their doctor prescribe like potassium citrate? Like, I often prescribe people the 10 milli equivalent extended release tablets and just make sure they take them with food. Like so somebody might need like one or two of those once or twice a day, depending, to get into the optimal potassium range. But that often will decrease pain and spasming a lot. But then yeah, if you boil down Swiss chard and then measure out a cup of it, that will have 1,000 milligrams of potassium. About a medium-sized avocado has about 500 milligrams of potassium. I think a cup of edamame, I think it's 200 something milligrams per cup. But then I guess ideally people would get 40, besides like people that are potassium sparing, diuretics or end stage kidney failure, particular medical reasons why they can't have a regular amount of potassium. Typically people would do well getting 4,700 milligrams of potassium a day. So sometimes, yeah, prescribing some while they're working on the diet. So I've had less success getting people to change their diet. That aspect, because yeah, there's certain foods, and yeah, and sometimes they'll get the bowel. Sometimes too many avocados and Swiss chard will get the bowels going a little too much. But they're very good to have some of. That can be
Too much
so
of a good thing.
helpful. Yeah, with pain, alternating
Okay.
hot and cold hydrotherapy can be very helpful quite often, like swollen ankles or wrists that hurt. That 2 minutes in the warm water, or like using the shower head, 2 minutes in the warm water, directly followed by 30 seconds cold, directly followed by 2 minutes warm, directly 30 seconds cold water, doing that at least 3 cycles of it. That can be quite helpful for, like swelling related pain. And some things like, like sinus pain and that kind of thing, like making sure somebody taking N-acetylcysteine or getting like a lot of garlic or onions, like
So.
caramelized onions or garlic or roasted garlic, can be really helpful to help like clear things out, because sometimes we just get so much junk in our body and we need those sulfur compounds to help clean things out.
Absolutely.
Vitamin C can be really helpful for like the easy bruising and that bruised kind of pain. I guess those are some of the, yeah, like simple-ish kind
No,
of
it's good.
things. Yeah.
And I think little things like that, if you just start even with just small diet or just magnesium, like you say, in the bath, great.
Yeah.
Like just
Yeah.
that's just
Yeah.
one
Yeah.
thing that you can start doing. So that's incredible. All right. So I guess, last sort of thoughts here. I guess there's a lot of myths out there in relation to health, and I know I haven't prepared you for any of these questions, so I'm sort of dropping all these balls on you today. But what sort of one health myth, I guess, that you wish you could debunk, which would be like one of the biggest ones that you hear or the most common things that you hear?
Oh, I know there's ones. Sorry.
I'll let you think about that. But I
Oh.
also, after that, just like two tips for people that you incorporate daily for your life that you love doing. You know, I know I think you have a dog. So
Oh,
like
yeah.
spending time with pets or getting really good sleep. I guess two top points that you think are like the greatest things that you should be doing every day of your life.
Oh, yeah. So physical activity. Yeah. Like if you can be walking with your dog, though, that's even better. Like, you know, you can just watch a movie with your dog afterwards. That is really good.
Snuggle.
That's yeah. Yeah. The petting and stuff is really great for oxytocin, and the walking is really good for mood and getting like lymph moving and energy generally. Like sometimes people think, oh, I'm too tired to exercise, but if you start exercising regularly, it starts to
Gives
improve
more.
energy pretty quickly. And then like essential oils, I have all my bottles of essential oils. I think it's a really good idea for anybody to have essential oil diffuser. If you're feeling frightened or worried, like pop some lavender, like 10 drops of lavender in the water, things, and let it diffuse. Like citrus is really nice to put in there if you're just feeling like you need a little bit more energy. You do eucalyptus and tea tree, and oregano oil, like if you're feeling like, oh, it's sickness time, everybody's sick, or you're feeling like you're coming down with something. I feel like
That's
essential oils are like just really underutilized. I absolutely love them. They're amazing.
Yeah, I agree. And they're simple things to do as well. Yeah, you can have them in the home.
Yeah, they've got like there's a lot of them that have been studied, and they're also just like a pleasurable thing, like lavender.
Peninsulas.
Yeah, it tends to make people's like affects people's amygdalas in a way that makes them feel safe. So it's this really nice, simple thing. I mean, I guess there's just
Yeah,
those are
absolutely.
kind
I use
of everything
my
things.
daughter every night asks for lavender. So we do like a little tummy rub with lavender,
Oh,
essential
nice.
oils, there's another oil. And yeah,
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just this routine that we've got into every night.
Oh,
She loves it.
yeah.
Yeah. And it's that
Yeah.
safety at nighttime and bringing the nervous system down a little bit. And it works. It really
Yeah,
works.
it's very helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Incredible. Well, thanks so much for your time today, Dr. Emily. And I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day in your nighttime. Any parting words? And then where can people find you as well? So where can we locate you?
I'm at Urban Wellness Group in Portland, Oregon, but then I'm on Instagram, just it's just dr. Emily Ganaway, the last name's GANNAWAY. Try to post, yeah, some useful information, research.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, it's incredible.
Now I'm on TikTok, and I don't know.
All
I
the
got the Pinterest and things, but I haven't started putting anything on that one. But yeah.
The
So I try
full-time
to stick
job
the
just
same
doing all
handle for
that.
everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, no, I appreciate so much your time today and thank you so
Oh, thank
much.
you so much. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's been wonderful and just to hearing about your journey and what you've been through and then how you've gone about so much education in all your passion areas. So yeah, it's really admirable. So thank you. Thanks for
Oh, thanks.
sharing.
Yeah, it's really awesome to see everything you're doing over there too.
Thank you
Yeah.
so much. Well,
Yeah.
yeah, have a lovely rest of your night. Have a lovely sleep tonight and I'll chat to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Revital Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.